This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall. Ian Franklin, Kentucky, our closer. Jensen Lewis back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Is that a Canton, Ohio shirt that you have on the logo, if I'm seeing that correctly?
Yes, this is the Quarter Zip Pro Football Hall of Fame Club member.
Sweet.
I have done the Pro Football Hall of Fame Luncheon Series speaker rounds here the last handful of years. We'll head back there. It's a really cool thing, Dave. On Mondays, it is most anyone can become a member. It is usually sold out, and thank you to the great people of Northeast Ohio that have come so many times. Traditionally, Dave, I would try and do my speech either right when spring training began as kind of a season kickoff, or right at the end of the year when the playoffs started. That's the way it's going to happen this year. I'll be going down there October 5th. RJ Allman and
awesome.
All the people that are part of the board there, they do a fantastic job. Dave, it's so cool because leading up to Pro Football Hall of Fame week, they usually have some of the guys that have already been inducted that will come in and we'll talk. It's a really neat thing. They've had all kinds of head coaches. Of course, Urban Meyer has been through here. Jim Tressel, now the lieutenant governor here in Ohio, will come through again. But so many great walks of life, coaches, people that have been through amazing life experiences. Just happy to be a small part of it. So excited to get back there again after a couple of years off the circuit. I'll be back there first week of October.
That is super cool. We might have to get some video and show that for our fans here on VSiN by the Books, Jensen. That's big time, my man. All right, let's get to it. What we saw last night in preseason, day number one, get some games tonight that we'll talk about, of course, and got games tomorrow as well. But if you're an under player, it was big time for you last night. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Six games, six unders, and really kind of five were no sweaters, and you had to sweat out that Cardinal game against the Raiders to get that under home, but I know that makes us happy here, Jensen. Arizona with the outright win, 27-14. It did kind of feel like the feature game of the night. We got that news a couple hours before kickoff that Carson Beck would not go, which was a bit concerning there. I believe a rib injury is what they're calling it there, but yet the Raiders, even in defeat, boy, Kirk Cousins looked good, and I think overall number one, Fernando Mendoza, I guess check if you're a Raider backer this morning.
Boy, you talk about a sweat. Dave, we looked at that game, and one of the trends that Steve Mackinnon had put out there that participants in the Hall of Fame game, those teams the very next week had a fabulous consistent streak to the under. And if you look at where that score was, headed into, you know, the middle part of the third quarter, it was 27-14 Cardinals with 4:29 remaining in the third quarter. Not a point scored after that. So if you're an over better, very sorry for your loss. Those of us that were under betters, all right, that is a good omen. Perhaps a great year on the horizon for us. We did get one tie. You are correct, Dave. It is preseason football. As the great Will Hill said on social media, how can you not be romantic about football when you get a 13-all tie between the Colts and the Patriots? But you're right. All six games under. Dave, if you had, you know, the degeneracy to go parlay all six of those unders, a $100 parlay got you about $4,500 in return. So congratulations to everyone who went the under route. And the Cardinals, very impressive there in a win with a couple of the starters going out there early.
Again, as I've said for years, before we had our platform, certainly in a Lewis Ross administration, day one, EO would be no ties in regular season NFL. Fake football preseason, I'm fine with it. We can tie. We can wrap this thing up, make sure nobody else gets hurt. We might have some hurt feelings in Washington, D.C. Who saw this coming? Jaden Daniels is very upset that dare anybody wears number five down there in Baton Rouge, because we know that D.J. Pickett's going to be the quarterback down there for Lane Kiffin in year number one, and then Jaden Daniels had his people release a statement saying we might have to take legal action here, Jensen. What is going on, Jaden Daniels? Shouldn't the focus be on the Commanders instead of what happened 3 years ago when you won the Heisman Trophy as a member of the LSU Baton Rouge Tigers?
Yeah, it should be on being a Washington Commander, because your college exploits, I checked the numbers. I don't think he's got any eligibility remaining if he wanted to go back for a fifth, sixth, seventh year, however many he'd have left in Death Valley. Again, this is so stupid on so many levels. I mean, like, Joe Burrow could just go back. Yeah, I don't want anyone wearing my number. He doesn't care. Doesn't matter to him. I would like to give a shout out, though, to all the different companies. I think StubHub did one of the best I've seen, because effective immediately, we will no longer offer, out of respect for Jaden Daniels, you cannot buy tickets in packs of five, only four or six in that number of multiples. Hysterical to see him taking all these L's. I don't know if it was his mom that got all up in arms about it, probably knowing she's his agent too. But this is ridiculous on so many levels. I hope there's a little come to Jesus moment here. I hope the veterans in that locker room kind of get a hold of him and be like, listen, bro, you're coming off injury. Get your focus back where it should be and on this football team and winning football games.
I always say, you know, people say no offense, but, and I'm like, you can't tell people not to take offense. Like, I can't tell Jaden Daniels to not take offense by that. People are going to be offended by whatever they're going to be offended by. It's just stunning to me that you're going to take legal action. I know he's walked it back since then. That just seemed a little bit above and beyond the run-of-the-mill disrespect for whatever reason that he felt. We've got issues when it comes to injuries. I always call it fake football, but they are real injuries. That's for sure. And this year, even before we got to the preseason slate last night, they've been popping up at camps galore. This one happened yesterday with the Saints and their rookie talented wide receiver, Jordan Tyson. He exited practice early. Chuba Hubbard, another guy you got to keep on the watch list here for the Panthers. These guys have hamstring injuries, considered week to week down there in Carolina. We'll figure out about Jordan Tyson. But Jensen, as you pointed out in hour number one, this is kind of not a new thing here for Jordan Tyson that you've had to deal with.
Yeah, again, this was one of the injuries through the draft process, or at least leading up to it, that teams were trying to do some due diligence on. Make no mistake, when healthy, one of the most explosive and impactful wide receivers you could have out of the college ranks. This is something to put a pin in, right? Because Tyler Shuck and Jordan Tyson, that was a combination you were pretty optimistic on if you're Kellen Moore. Hamstrings, groins, and calves for wide receivers, man. It tends to be a nagging thing. Not the update that you wanted if you're the Saints brass, knowing that you are expecting him to be a really impactful guy from day number one.
You know, I think it's really cool what Major League Baseball does, and they do the Field of Dreams game, if you will, in the corn, and Kyle Schwarber in the first batter of the game sent one to the corn, added another one later on in the game in a two-homer night, and the Phillies get the win, more importantly here. But, you know, Jesse, we were kind of talking a little bit about the scheduling, and explain to the people that might not know why they chose to do this when they did it.
Yeah, the idea is usually to coincide with the Little League World Series, Dave, and just that nostalgia, you know, the little boys playing the game and kind of back to one of the great movies of all time with Kevin Costner. And of course, in Dyersville, Iowa, the facility they've made, Dave, is incredible. First time we've had this game, by the way, since 2022, when the Cubs and the Reds squared off. If you remember, it was Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. who walked out of the cornfields and had a catch.
Yes.
I don't know where you come down on play catch or have a catch. I'm a play catch person, which is fine. You can't go wrong. It's baseball no matter what. But it's a big one for the Phillies here too, Dave. They will travel to Target Field because this is actually a home series for the Minnesota Twins, but they will travel to Target Field. This was neat. We had a chance to interview Derek Shelton, manager of the Minnesota Twins, yesterday when I was on hosting on LME Network Radio Series Channel 89. And he was live on the field. Dave, the actual vantage points of the field is so incredibly cool. But he kind of made mention of it. He goes, we flew in today and we're flying out tonight. So it was kind of get in, get out. And now they'll resume that series at Target Field tomorrow there for game two.
We appreciate everybody reaching out on social media as well with their best baseball movies. We know that list came out yesterday with the Field of Dreams game. I am a Bad News Bears guy. I understand the Major League love out there, and I know you're in the great city of Cleveland, so that's going to work there. I will also say, if you don't tear up when he says, do you want to have a catch, Dad? At the end of Field of Dreams. It gets me every time, that's for sure. And Kevin Costner, yes, I talked about this with Jonathan Van Tobel yesterday. Did he have to be in every baseball movie? It seemed like for a time he was in just about every baseball movie made. We got five guys tied atop the lead here at the end of the first round of the St. Jude Classic. Scotty Scheffler, where is he? He's only three back of that pack at two under par. You can get Scotty at north of 6-1 here before they get ready to tee it up here, or just getting it teed up right now to begin that second round. He'll be going off later on today, because he went off early yesterday. Ludvig Åberg, one of my players, is at two under par as well. Jensen, the heat really is an issue. We talked about it leading up to the first round. Guys like Rory McIlroy and Robert McIntyre, the Scotsman and the Northern Ireland laddie, they didn't take to that heat very well yesterday in Memphis.
You know, Dave, we don't have the heat in Ireland like we do in Memphis. I can only imagine. I'm sure Rory's complaining about that here. He's probably going to Brian Rolapp. We can't have the events like this in these kind of parts of the country. None of us can play. I think we're going to be intrigued to see round two. You said basically if you've not jumped in, if you want to dabble,
yeah,
mostly go for guys that have kind of grown up, played through this heat. So a lot of the Texas boys you'd be targeting here today.
Totally. And we mentioned that before yesterday's round, right? That I said, hey, look to those Texas guys. Jordan Spieth probably would not have been the first guy I'd pick, obviously, but there he is at 500 par in that group for the lead. Scotty being a Texan. I do think if you have nothing invested already and you want to hop in on Scotty at this juncture, it's kind of exactly the way we mapped it out yesterday. I think that's a good, fair price point to get in. I think he'll be motivated to win this week as well. It's been a while. Remember, only one win on the PGA Tour this year for Scotty. He'd love to get number two this weekend. Let's talk more NFL football. Who's going to be the starter in your neck of the woods for week number one? We'll break it down next right here on Beeson by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Y'all, we are fired up for this. VSiN's on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 hosts here at the network and guests going to face off in a fantasy football-style snake draft hosted by the only guy that can host this thing. Dustin Sweetelson did an amazing job last year. We're going to have every pick's going to double as a handicapping breakdown that you can use to your advantage when you make your play. So it's win totals, it's divisional winners, it's player props, stat leaders. Last year's competitors are all back for round two, so we're all back for a second year, joined by three newcomers stepping into the Futures Draft Room for the first time. How about this? Overall number one, Keyshawn Johnson. Key is going to be with us this year. Comedian, sports commentator Nick Mackay is going to be on the program as well. And the guru himself, John Hansen. Don't miss this. What a show this is going to be. The Futures Draft. You can profit from it, not just be entertained. Thursday. Tune in on August 20th, next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN. Of course, the Sports Betting Network. If you're watching this on FanDuel Sports Network on YouTube television, I do believe that I want to say, Jensen, you and I, as a team, I think we were like 3-4. Patrick Maher, congrats. You won it. You're the reigning defending this year. I think Matty Humans might have got second. But I think as a team, Jensen, we might have the best showing as a show overall. I can't confidently claim that, but I'm semi-confident in that claim.
I feel like it was Humans. Here, let's see. Joe just sent us the standings. Let me read it.
Oh, Joe's got the breakdown.
Entering the final week.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Entering the final week. Remember, Patrick Maher ended up winning because it was it a Jonathan Taylor most rushing yards, or Stormy had most rushing yards or most rushing touchdowns? Maybe it was rushing touchdowns that Patrick Maher was able to vault upwards. But I think Humans and Murray might have beaten us. Yes, indeed. It was Jonathan Taylor, rushing touchdown leader at 13-1 that vaulted him up. But yeah, if Dak had played through the end of that game, you would have had most passing yards. So that would have been good.
That would have got me number one.
Either way. Yeah, I think we had two of the top five spots, which was great. So, we'll read and react on this one. But, boy, this is going to be really nice. Good luck to Keyshawn Johnson, John Hansen, a couple of the newcomers coming in. This is a who's who of handicappers for the Pro Football Futures Draft.
And Nick Bakay is a riot. I can't wait to have Nick on the program as well. That's going to be a lot of fun. But it's still competition, boys, so we're going to try to go out there and beat everybody and be the best of the bunch this year. Let's get to what's going to happen in the NFL in Cleveland, in your neck of the woods. I'm sure you love talking about this quarterback competition. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
There's a market out there, and you can bet it right now. Who's going to be the signal caller in week number one? Now, we should throw out some caveats. When you see the big favorite, of course, is Deshaun Watson, and almost got to lay $5 to win one here. We understand that. Shedeur Sanders, the second betting choice at plus 330. And then Dylan Gabriel, 70-1. Some people say he looks the best so far this year. And then the talented rookie Taylen Green is 80-1. Jensen, injury could always be something. We talk about injuries every day on this show leading up to the preseason, let alone the regular season. I would not be in the business of laying 480 on Deshaun Watson. Now, if he stays healthy, it's going to cash, but that should be the number one stumbling block, right?
Very excited to catch up with one of my favorites here in Northeast Ohio, Dangerous Darryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan here in Cleveland, one of the flagship stations for Cleveland Browns football. As I told you, General Hospital, one of the greatest, longest-running soap operas in TV history. Second to that is the quarterback competition every year in Berea, Ohio, for the Cleveland Browns. I don't have a care in the world who starts in week one because they're not beating Jacksonville. I don't really have a care in the world who starts week two because they're going up against Baker Mayfield, who has already come out and said, and I will quote from Baker Mayfield, first home game, week two, Cleveland, about that action, boss. I played them in Carolina, and they hit a 63-yard field goal to win. Pissed. I only played 4 years in Cleveland. It's felt like forever. This is home now. It's time to show them which home is better. Autoplay on Buccaneers -5.5 in Circa Millions for week two. Set it, forget it. So the Browns are 0-2 through two games, and I don't even care if Taylen Green takes snaps. They ain't winning the first two games of the season. Book it.
Kind of like that breakdown right there. Look, I am, again, we'll talk about this a little bit more, as you mentioned, with Darryl Ryder coming up here in the next hour. Like on the Dylan Gabriel front, there does not seem to be the same mandated pressure, or maybe I'm wrong on that, that it is mandated from the top, that it's got to be Deshaun Watson or bust. But if Dylan Gabriel, if it's a real competition, Jensen, everything that I'm hearing is that he's looked as good, if not better, than any of the rotational quarterbacks we've seen so far, at least in practice. We'll find out what it looks like in a game in the preseason. But for what we don't see and from what we hear from the beat writers, that's what I'm picking up. Are you putting down the same type of thing from what you're hearing from the people watching practice every day?
I think so. And again, you know, when you look at this ownership group and the Haslam family, they've never been shy about dipping their hands into, you know, front office operations and kind of pushing people to do what they want to do. Again, they sign the checks. You're allowed to do that. But if you hire people to do a job, let them do their job. It still looks like a prison photo of Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski when they drafted Shedeur Sanders. I cannot get that out of my head. All that being said, you know, we had looked at this group in Daily Gridiron. We think the offensive weapons are much better. And I don't think there's an argument against that. The argument is, Dave, how and who is going to get the ball to him on a consistent basis? The offensive line should be fine. The running game should be okay to start. Quinshon Judkins looks good. I just don't think that they have. Okay, I'll juxtapose it. Would you rather a geek off the street, take snaps or a guy that hasn't played competitive football at the highest level in Deshaun Watson for years, or a guy in Shador Sanders who are, that you really can't predict what he's going to do on each play. You can try and tell him and teach him what to do. Maybe it'll sink in, but then there's always that screw loose. It's like, oh, no, I'm going to do what I want to do, and oh, I think I can make a play, and then it's a loss of 25. So it's a dumpster fire. It has been for a while. I don't know if we get any semblance of continuity early, especially with the opponents they have on their schedule.
Yesterday here in the program, Jensen, I mentioned that, you know, John Harbaugh is one of those type coaches out there that if they're keeping score, he's going to try to win. And that's why I kind of liked them yesterday in their matchup with the Texans. We looked to the under. They both came home, by the way. 27-7 was the final last night with the Chargers getting the easy outright victory. He's just one of those guys that they're kind of wired that way. Harb's talked about his philosophy in the preseason. We know about his brother when he was there in Baltimore. They tried to win every game. They did for a long time, every single game out there. Let's hear from Jim talking about his preseason philosophy.
I value first-team reps very much, and you have to measure that against the risk. So there is risk as well, and that's part of it too. And you have to make that decision. You know, in the past 3 or 4 years, we didn't play hardly any starters. Before that, we would play a series or two, and we usually went even all three games. Way back when, we had the we kind of brought from Andy, was the way we worked it, and he had the most reps were like in the third preseason game, you know. Then the fourth preseason game, those guys only played one series. So there's a lot of formulas. People use a lot of different formulas. Our formula was pretty much to spread the reps out evenly through the three games for the guys that needed to play, and we have a plan for that right now by guy, and that's what we'll do.
Of course, John and Jim, sometimes you can juxtapose those guys, but they have kind of similar philosophy. And it all comes from their dad, Jack. That's the way Jack Harbaugh kind of instilled that in the kids. And you hear kind of both of them. We saw it play out with the Chargers last night in that win. And again, now with the Giants, he did this in Baltimore, Jensen. This is kind of the way that the Harbs, if you will, kind of run things here. Would that get you to the window on the Giants as the first game for John as the new head coach in New York?
Man, Matt Nagy is still the offensive coordinator there in New York.
He still is. He's still calling
plays.
Okay,
so then that's a fade. It's gonna. we know that he can take nice shiny toys and mess them up with the best of them. So I'm gonna stand pat. Or as you would like to say in military terms, I'm going to stand fast until I get orders that are going to lead me in a more successful direction. Make no mistake, Cowboys defense is better, as you well know. Rams, one of the best defenses in football. Robert Saleh, defensive-minded head coach, first 3 weeks. Mm. Jack Sadar, you got your hands full, my friend. I'm very anxious to see that. So it will be a wait-and-see approach for me as far as the Giants' season-long futures go.
For what it's worth, they will be getting 2.5 points against the Vikings here in preseason game number one tomorrow night for Big Blue there in New York. It is going to be weird to see him actually not coaching the Ravens and coaching now with the New York Football Giants, but they're getting 2.5. High total, by the way, 41.5 for that preseason till tomorrow night. All right, when we come back, let's talk more Major League Baseball. We saw something we just don't see in today's day and age with the Tigers last night. What might we see tonight? That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Next hour, we're going to catch up with Lou Finocchiaro as we're going to Philadelphia. That's why I'm wearing this Italian Stallion shirt today here on VSiN by the Books as we get ready for UFC 332 title fights that we'll break down there. Dale Ryder is going to join the program as well, talking all things Cleveland Browns football. So we got a lot to get to here before we say goodbye on this Friday edition of VSiN by the Books. But Jensen, we did see something very rare in Major League Baseball last night. We'll break down today's slate in today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Jensen, what's the big deal? Tigers get a 3-0 win last night that shut out the Guardians. We get shutouts all the time, but this was not your garden variety shutout, was it, my man?
No, first time since 2014, a shutout with no strikeouts by that winning team. And it wasn't just a complete game, Kader Montero. No, it was a handful of those Tiger relievers that were able to stymie the Cleveland Guardians. But David, the weird part, and you just kind of have to take a double take in looking at where this game transpired and how the game is played in today's day and age, to have no strikeouts by any pitcher. You have three pitchers, Kader Montero, Tyler Holt, and Kenley Jansen. Just surreal. Only one walk in the game by Tiger pitching, four hits allowed between those three arms, and 117 pitches total between those three hurlers. But a 3-0 win, a series win, and now the Tigers creep ever so close to the Chicago White Sox, where they will do battle tonight, beginning a 3-game set. All kinds of implications. Tigers begin play tonight, Dave, occupying the final wild card spot in the American League. This has been a team that has absolutely surged here, even without Tarek Skubal. It feels like it has been a weight lifted off their shoulders, distractions of questions left, right, and center every single day for a month. So it feels like they're playing pretty free and easy, and they're a win away from getting back to 500. A surreal turnaround for this club, who was double digits out in the American League Central just a couple of months ago.
I really can't believe it. And again, I don't know why I'm surprised, because we saw it last year in this very division. You talked about it all summer long that, hey, it always seems to come down to the last week in this division for whatever reason. You get a big series today in the Motor City here against the White Sox. They're not Tom Petty free-falling at this juncture, but they are. It seems like they're taking on a little bit of water here on that boat on the south side. Danger signs here, Jensen, or, man, they've just played above what we all thought they'd play, and maybe they're coming back to a level maybe closer to the real expectation instead of the kind of the gaudy expectations we had there for quite some time.
Well, you know, Davis Martin getting run yesterday was not helpful, especially to their bullpen. And again, if you want to say it was soft, you know, it was airmailing Sal Stewart. You know, I can understand both sides of the argument here. If we're looking at the White Sox just from a pitching standpoint, because that's usually where I like to start the handicap, since August 1st, Dave, 4-7 record wise, but 4.57 team ERA. That's 21st in Major League Baseball. Your issue, you're going up against the number one pitching staff in all of baseball, the Detroit Tigers, with a 2.20 ERA in that same time span. Hitting wise, as this team goes, as far as runs scored, Chicago has actually been okay. They're 12th in runs scored with 52. Problem is, Detroit is fourth in big league baseball in that same time period with 66 runs scored. So a pivotal series beginning tonight on the south side. I also would look at a couple of unders here, Dave, just eyeballing a few right now and looking at some of the starting pitching matchups today. Speaking of the Reds, they brought it out. I mean, they were up big in this game, and then the White Sox found a way to come back against their bullpen. They end up holding on to win 9-8. They're back home at Great American Ballpark tonight, and absolutely love this pitching matchup. Sandy Alcantara, Chase Burns, two of the best arms going right now. So this feels like a pretty easy under 8.5. I found it on Novig at minus $1.35. Dave, I'm already seeing 7.5s for this one. So go shop around. And if you can find, I think I'm still okay with an 8. And there are some 8s that are still available. But I found an 8.5 at minus $1.35 on Novig. Again, if prediction markets are better pricing and better numbers for you, absolutely go find it. As Joe Pitas told us yesterday, it's just like finding a new store with a discount price and for the same item. Mm. So that is my first play in pocket tonight. And a great pitching matchup. Alcantara and Burns from the stadium down there in Cincinnati. Under 8.5, minus $1.35.
We know about Chase Burns. We've talked a lot about him this year, kind of fringe, maybe, you know, wild card Cy Young. And I don't think he's going to get there, but still a really good year for the youngster here. He's kind of the new ace. And Hunter Green, by the way, going back on the IL there, and he's going to be out for quite some time. Hopefully we see him next year after his surgery again. I want to ask you about Sandy, because I felt like the vibe was that maybe they'd move him at the deadline. They didn't do that. I've been pleasantly surprised. Not that he's all the way back to being Sandy, but Jensen, what are you seeing with him? Is he getting closer and closer to that dominant Alcantara that we saw just a couple years ago?
Really hasn't left. I mean, he's been really consistent all year. If we kind of look at his recent game logs and go through, it is three straight starts where he hasn't allowed a run, and he's pitched at least six innings. How about 20 total innings, 11 hits, 18 strikeouts, only four walks. It has been really dominant. Batting average of balls in play is at 204, just a tick above the Mendoza line. And the Marlins have won three consecutive starts here. 1-0, 2-0, 7-0. So they've been lower scoring games. Love the under here. Again, just kind of, you know, embellishing our point there. And even with Chase Burns, you know, anxious to see what they do with the Reds. Looking at where the wild card race is right now, I just wanted to bring it up and see what the exact number is that Cincinnati will be starting with today. I'll find it here in a moment. But as far as Chase Burns goes, looking at him the last handful of times out, obviously a fair amount of strikeouts here. So the Nationals, okay, I'm going to kind of throw that one out. But the interesting part here is defense has, in the three previous outings before the Nationals start, a 1.13 ERA, Dave, 19 strikeouts in 16 innings. Just the two earned runs allowed, a field independent pitching of 2.83. So, boy, all kinds of signs pointing to an under tonight. Absolutely love this total, and I think we get runs at a premium there at Great American Ballpark.
What about north of the border? We mentioned this coming up that it's not an easy part of the schedule for the Blue Jays. It hasn't been easy. They've navigated it pretty darn well. They're going to get bookend series here with the Yankees sandwiched in with the with Tampa Bay Rays. So it's going to be Yanks, Tampa, Yanks. If the Blue Jays want to survive this gauntlet, you're going to have to beat the Garrett Coles of the world a couple times potentially. Shane Bieber gets the first crack at it today north of the border. That total of 8, Jensen, is that where you're looking to attack?
Yeah, I do. Again, another under here. And again, you're attacking two offenses that have left a lot to be desired here. Yankees have been stymied the last week or so. Blue Jays in that same boat. So the under 8 at minus $1.14. I'm seeing Circa has it at $1.10. So shop around for your best price here. Listen, if the Blue Jays are going to stay in this wild card hunt, Shane Bieber, to use a Clint Kubiak term, needs to continue ascending. And that means limiting balls going out of the ballpark. Gave up 2 home runs in Philadelphia in his last start en route to allowing 5 earned runs. And so he's had a couple of crooked numbers here as of late. Did not get out of the first inning in that start to end July against the Nationals. So the National League East has provided some resistance against him, but he's traditionally been good when he's gone up against the Yankees. So again, do like it. Garrett Cole, goes without saying, Dave, what he's been able to do off the injury list has been such a boost to this Yankee rotation. You look at his last 3 starts, this has been vintage Garrett Cole. .145 ERA, 21 strikeouts and 18 and two-thirds, a field independent pitching of 163. Yeah, under 8 is going to be the play, Dave. Minus $1.14, but shop around. There are some better prices in some other jurisdictions.
Very quickly, going to stay with that theme here, going to Cleveland, and we know the bats have been challenged here. Padres coming in town. Jensen, we look into another under here for guards ball.
Yeah, guards ball has been really no resistance offensively. It has been really hard to watch, to say the least. Now, not to say that the Padres are just absolutely tearing the cover off the ball, but they're definitely doing enough to get wins. Here's your problem. Another ace on ace tonight. Michael King for the Padres, Gavin Williams for the Cleveland Guardians. Dave, if you have ever wanted to ladder strikeout props, the last 5 times out, you would be swimming in cash, or at least 5 of the last 6, you'd be swimming in cash. Can I interest you in his last 6 starts? Gavin Williams, 62 strikeouts in 38 and a third. He's averaging 10.3 strikeouts in his last 6 starts. I would say that that is going to probably be a spot you could attack, but this Padre offense, I tell you, they are red hot as far as that team goes. But I like the low scoring game tonight. Let's play the under 7.5 minus $1.17.
Got a couple bullets to fire there. One of those, the big one, is Miami to make the postseason. If not, I've got San Diego. So we're positioned well here for one of those two teams to possibly get in. I don't think I can get greedy in both of those guys getting in. When we come back, let's talk about preseason slates and the game tonight that we've got on the docket. That's next right here at VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Preseason football is back in our lives. It's time to book that trip to Vegas before we get to the regular season and the real football begins in earnest. So Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they're going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in this great country of ours. One trip to Vegas, that's all it takes. Play all season long. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. I know you're getting ready to do that, Jensen, as well. I've already done mine. Always a good excuse to get out there to Las Vegas to sign up and get your proxy. Ours is Tom. He is spectacular. We've got three games on the docket tonight here in preseason week number one. We got the Broncos and the Falcons, the Buccaneers and the Jets, and the Fish going to take on the Commanders. Boy, a lot of chatter about the Commanders in the last 24 hours. Jensen, let's start off with the Jets and the Buccaneers here, because we did talk about this with Thomas Gable in hour number one. And if you're out there and you have not liked or subscribed to the VSiN by the Books pod, please do so. You can listen to that conversation on your time. And he made the point, when this game opened, the Buccaneers were actually favored in this game. And kind of the point about when you get to the regular season and everybody, those numbers get hardened a little bit, the information of the preseason is what really moves these numbers. This is a dramatic move. It's up now to 5.5 to the way of the Jets over the Buccaneers. So a rather significant 6.5-point move here since this number first came out. You know, it's kind of the same theory that I had going into the Bengal game against the Lions last night in the preseason, where, you know, second half, maybe you're not as into it, if you will, from a coaching staff perspective. You kind of want to get out of there healthy. I don't know if I want to lay big numbers here. Is 5.5 too much for you to lay tonight?
Yeah, none of these games looked advantageous to me, at least from some of the Steve Mackinnon trends. None of them really lined up as far as the matchups go, because you've got a lot of AFC, NFC, cross-conference matches, at least as far as these games go. I would say that with Aaron Glenn playing the starters, you can understand, you know, why the numbers are where they are, and Baker Mayfield will be sitting. I think Jake Browning is questionable. Jalen Daniels maybe getting some run here tonight, just kind of brushing up on what we might see from a quarterback spot here with the Buccaneers. But if we learned anything, Dave, from what we saw yesterday, yes, a line move could be advantageous as far as giving you an indicator of who's playing and who's not, but it's not necessarily Bible here. Okay, so very interested to see probably a series, maybe two, depending on the length of it, for the Jets side of it. But yeah, I tend to be wanting to take the points as far as getting them instead of laying them anytime you're in this first week of preseason action.
I'm right there with you. This is not the position that I'd be in to lay the points. Again, probably not going to end up playing the game as well. Once the regular season gets there, I know that, you know, everything we're going to try for all four quarters here. And so sometimes you get that feel early. We talked about whether or not first team linemen will be playing with certain units and which don't. I saw some consternation out there on social media about it. Certainly choices when coaches put, let's say, high draft picks out there without the full complement around them. So something to keep an eye on there. The Falcons quarterback room is something to keep an eye on, that's for sure. And we're looking for health. That's what I'll be looking for with Tua Tagovailoa. Don't really care about the result so much. It's just more about able bodies at this position. Again, a lot of people really like the Broncos this year to bounce back. Bo Nix, we're not going to see him obviously yet with the ankle. I don't believe Sean Payton's going to do that. 3.5-point favorites here for the Broncos over the Falcons. No play again for me here. That total is 39.5. But if you're not interested in the game per se, what will you be looking for? Because to me, it's about the health of that quarterback room for the ATL.
Yeah, Bo Nix is not going to play, expected to debut against Green Bay next week. So Jarrett Stidham, the starter for the first half, and then it does look like Sam Ellinger is going to get the second half. On the flip side, your Falcons, Tua Tagovailoa will start, I would imagine, one series. And then we get your boy Cooper Rush, and maybe a little Jack Strand will clean it up here in the second half. So you get your first look with all the big boys, at least on offense, and, you know, just a series just to get that cadence moving. So controlled evaluation. But it's the backup quarterback battle for Denver, right? And knowing that Bo Nix, if indeed the broken ankle is not ready to go, albeit Sean Payton said if we had to play today, yeah, he's my guy. And right. the recovery is ahead of schedule. But yeah, let's we'll take a look at Jarrett Stidham and what he has developed over the offseason. Sam Ehlinger, another year in this program. That will be my focus there between Broncos and Falcons.
The Broncos, by the way, are the third betting choice to win that division at plus 225. Chiefs are back installed as the favorites here to win and still get plus money there. The Chargers, the second betting choice. And we've gotten some great inquiries here as we've gone with by the books at VSiN.com. We appreciate everybody writing in. We talked about the Broncos in one specific query we got that they're very surprised that they're not looked at as the team to beat. You mentioned Bo Nix, and you mentioned that Sean Payton said, "Hey, if this was a real football game, he'd be playing in it tonight." But it's not, so we're not gonna risk him, and that obviously makes sense. Jensen, are you surprised that they're the third betting choice in this division? Look, we all hope that he's going to look like Bo Nix, but it was a devastating injury that we saw at the end of that Bills game to obviously keep him out of the AFC title game, and maybe Bronco backers think that last year would have been different if Bo Nix was healthy for that game, even though Stidham, I thought, accounted himself as well as he could on short notice. Where are you on Bo? Because I still get the feeling that some people aren't exactly sold on him, where we don't have those questions, obviously, about a Mahomes or a Herbert that they're looking up to in the odds board in the division.
I picked the Broncos to win this division. They're going to win it, Dave, because they have the fewest amount of question marks. Four of our 23 VSiN hosts and expert selections. I was one of the four that picked the Broncos to repeat. 11 selected the Chiefs. 8 selected the Chargers. Already issues with the Chargers offensive line and knowing that the Chiefs are trying to recreate the magic of years gone by. I don't know if the Broncos can get to that level of eliteness they were defensively a year ago. I think they can get close. The offense is much better, I think, is the weapons for Bo Nix. Adding Jalen Waddle in there, getting a healthy running back room for most of the season will do wonders. They do have a difficult start to the schedule. I'm not running away from that whatsoever. You're in Arrowhead for Monday Night Football to start the year, then home against Jacksonville. Home against the Rams. When you go out to San Francisco, we'll see if the substation has wreaked havoc on that roster week in and week out. Then you stay on the West Coast to take on the Chargers in a big AFC matchup before you come back home against Seattle. So yes, the first 6 weeks, if they're at 500 or better, I think that's a win. But they have the fewest amount of question marks, and they have arguably the best coach in the division in Sean Payton. So I do like that this team can run it back with a lot of the usual suspects, as long as Bo Nix's ankle is okay, and they may even baby it. They may even restrict his running capabilities in the first couple of weeks just to make sure it's all the way back. But I just think they present the fewest amount of question marks in this division to repeat as AFC West champs.
All right, one other game tonight. Miami's 3.5-point favorites against the Commanders. And obviously, this is Jeff Hafley's debut as a head coach for the Fighting Fish here. So, you know, sometimes you get those angles down to 3 in some spots. Low total, 36.5 against the Commanders. Jensen, I know that the people in D.C., they don't really care about this game so much. They might be looking to a game now, November 23rd. They will be hosting the Cincinnati Bengals, and Joe Burrow will be playing, hopefully with good health, against Jaden Daniels. All of a sudden, that game feels like one that they're going to be circling on the calendar after the events of the last 24 hours in respects to LSU. Where are you on, let's say, with the Commanders and maybe a distraction before we tee it up here for preseason game number one? We know Daniels won't be seeing the field, but still, you kind of look at that and go, I wonder if there's going to be any hangover once we get to the regular season.
The joint practice was actually pretty good. Looking at some of the notes for some of the beat writers here, Jaden Daniels did look sharp. Anytime the number 5 was called, apparently he took it to another level. What I think is still the big theme here, though, Dave, is remember, it's Laramie Tunsil and the tricep injury. Yeah. So what will offensive line continuity look like? That's, you know, the shuffling of pieces is probably my biggest focus here, regardless of who's playing quarterback. If you don't have offensive line continuity, you're not going to have anything. So I think that's my big focus there. Flip side, hey, let's see what Malik Willis does. Expected to be out there. Mm-hmm. What do you do now with no Tyreek Hill, no Jalen Waddle? That's going to be interesting to watch how the weaponry is dispersed. We know Devon Achane is going to be a focal point of this offense right from the get-go. But those are the themes for me as I'll watch later on tonight.
Andrew Wiley and Brandon Coleman going to get some shots here at left tackle here with Laremy Tunsil out. So it's going to be interesting to see what that offensive line looks like. And obviously not just for the preseason, but once you get to week number one, that is going to be paramount. But boy, that Baton Rouge matchup coming up in November just got a little bit more fiery. I can't wait to see what that looks like with Burrow against JD5. Okay, when we come back, let's talk all things Philadelphia. Yeah, we're going to the city of brotherly shove, the home of Rocky Balboa and the Steps, UFC 330. Lou Finicaro going to kick it off next right here on VSiN by the Books.